Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
making his name great among the earth.
Hallelujah. And so this is just to encourage you, to let you know that in your hour of bereavement, you are not alone. There are prayer warriors that's praying around the globe for you and with you, that God will restore the joy that you once knew. Hallelujah. And bring back your joy and, you know, happiness unto your heart and soul. And so we just want you to stay encouraged. We know that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. So just know that you're not alone, that God is walking every step of your journey. And there was an old poem that read, it says that when you only saw one set of footprints, or two set of footprints, so that would have been Jesus' two sets, and yours would have been four, but when you only saw two sets, that was only Jesus' set of footprints. And the poem goes on to say that that's when Jesus carried you. So Jesus can spiritually carry you and I and us, because God is a spirit. And he can spiritually carry us through whatever we are encountering in our lives. And we want to send prayer out to way over there in that, I don't know where it was. It's way over there. I mean, over there, I guess maybe past Japan. I don't know. I think it was Palu or something, somewhere over in there where this just gigantic tsunami hit and destroyed a lot of homes and what have you. You know, it just flooded out there and taken lives, and they're still counting, hallelujah, the deceased. So we want to keep them in our prayers, because we should pray for everybody, not just pray a one-sentence prayer, you know, Lord, bless me and mine, and bless my family, bless me, you know, and don't bless anybody else. But we know that that prayer is not going to honor God. So to honor God, we have to pray for everybody. Every single individual on this planet are important to God and should be important to you and I and us, those of you that love God and that's, a clergyman, a saved and sanctified man or woman of God. Maybe you be young or in middle age or in your golden years, whatever it is, we should all have the mindset of God to love our fellow man and woman, our fellow sisters and brothers, hallelujah, that God has placed in our circle. So we just want you to be encouraged on this morning and know that God is going to make a way for you. Whatever you've lost, God is going to replace. God owns the heavens, underneath the heavens. God owns above the earth, beneath the earth, and the earth. God owns Dow Jones. God owns the stock exchange. God owns all the financial institute. God owns all the banks. God owns all the gold coins, all the memorabilia, all the dollar, the yen, and et cetera, et cetera. God owns it all. So you just place your prayer petition at the feet of God and watch him bring it to fruition. If you got a mustard size seed of faith, that's all you need to move God on your behalf. So we just thank you once again, and we're sending this prayer out to those that was affected in that tsunami. Hallelujah. And those of you that has lost loved ones, may God bless you and restore restoration unto your heart and soul. All right, so now we're going to move on into our opening prayer. Each time that we approach this podium, we fail not to acknowledge and to reverence our Lord, our soon coming Messiah. His identity is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. Hallelujah. And so we just want to thank God for allowing you and I and us, hallelujah, to be on this podium where we can spread the word of Jesus Christ with one another and fellowship with one another in unity, hallelujah, as God has planned it. So, Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us to gather in unity, God, once again around the spectrum. Father God, you said that when you went away that you was going to prepare a place for us, and upon your arrival you would come to receive us unto yourself. Hallelujah, God, but until that time and day is upon us, God, we will continue in your will. We continue in your way, mounting up from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land. For we know that this place is not our home. We're just travelers. We're traveling through this old barren land. And I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay on this morning. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom. To those that are hurting deep down, in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty marvelous name. And let the temple of God's people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so, without any further ado, hallelujah, we're going to go right on in, just dive right on into the Word of God, because, like I said, I'm not going to be before you very long. I've got to get my student up in a little while. So I won't be with you very long, but I will be with you, you know, for the time being. And so we know that God is the one that's running this show. God is he's the overseer of this. He planted all this together, and this is the results. This is the reason that we're here. I'm here for one purpose, and that is to minister to you the divine word of God. So without any further ado, we're going to take you on into a digitally mastered and formatted virtual praise and worship church experience. Hallelujah. This is live. This is not a pre-recording, but this is live. I'm coming to you in our new month of October the 3rd, 2018, 5:42 on your AM dial. So we're going to go on into the Word of God in our sermon on this morning entitled Dressing in Power, Revise. I want to say that one more time. Our sermon on this morning entitled Dressing in Power, Revise. So we're talking about faith. We're talking about, where's your faith? Where is your reliance on the authority of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. The authority to lay hands on the sick, to lay hands on the unsaved, to lay hands on the afflicted, to lay hands on the blinded eye, to lay hands on the dumb, that they might begin to speak. To lay hands on the lame, that they might get up and begin to walk. Where is your faith? Where is your faith that believe that God is going to take care of all your ills and your bills? God is going to take care of everything concerning you. God said, I will supply all of your needs, not part of them, not some of them, not a few of them. God said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. So there is no need to fear. Don't fear God in your belief, in your faith. Allow God to empower your faith. Because we know that all things are possible with him or her that believe. But the Bible far stated that without faith, my sister and my brother, sons and daughters, it is impossible to please God. We must have faith. God don't ask for a lot of faith. He said just the size of a mustard seed is all required from God. You don't have to have a whole lot of faith. but just a little grain of faith will move God in your life, in your prayer life, in your private life, on your job. Hallelujah. God will move if you believe. Things might not be looking as best that you would want them to be looking at this time, but don't lose heart. Believe that God is who he says he is. God's word is what he says it is. If God say he'll do it, he mean what he said. And God will do what he say he will do. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. So before God tell, not, God is not going to lie at all, but I'm just saying, before God will tell a lie, God is not a liar. God hates liars. God never lied. God is a blemishless God. There's no blemish on God. If any sinners, any blemishes is on us because we are sinners. Bible said we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But that's not my sermon. My sermon is faith, dressing in power, revise. We're talking about faith. We're talking about exercising your faith in God for what you want. We have to ask God. God said, ask, and it shall be given. Knock, the door shall be opened. Seek, ye shall find. So we have to go out looking for what we want God to do in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, we can say, you know, God is will put food on the table. We know God will put food on the table. We know God will send somebody to your door. But a lot of times God wants us to exercise our faith. You know, go and ask sometime. You know, it might be some places, some establishments that have what you need. And you have to go to those establishments and let your request be known. Say, God, I'm going to step out on faith. I need some food, and I'm going to go where food is being distributed, and I'm going to believe that God is going to bless me to fill my pantry, fill my refrigerator, fill the mouths of my children, of my husband, of my wife, of my loved one, or my care provider, or whoever it might be. God is a God that can do anything with one exception, and that is fail. We fall short of the glory of God, as I say so many times. But God is a God that do not fail. God is on the winning end. And when we're in God, we're on the winning end as well. Hallelujah. So we're going to go on into our key scripture. And it was coming out of the law of Mark 9:15. And it reads like this. Hallelujah. It says that straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Hallelujah. And that scripture reading once again is coming out of the law of Mark 9:15. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we're going to read a second key scripture coming out of the law of 1 Peter 3:15. And it says, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So you might ask Overseer Ward, what would be the reason? What would be a defense to give anyone who asks you your reason for the hope that is in you? So that means, would you have an argument, not a ugly argument, but I'm just talking about a biblical argument, for your belief and your trust in God? So what the Bible is saying is, what is the best argument that you and I and us can give those who ask why we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. How can you and I and us be most persuasively to bear witness of our faith? The Bible tells you and I and us, always be ready. And Peter urged us to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And that was our second key scripture on this morning, coming out of 1 Peter 3:15. We know that the Greek term for reason is apology. That doesn't mean a weak, need excuse. It means a convincing argument. And there was a philosopher of Syracuse University. He had written a very helpful book in defense of the Christian faith. He had something to say that should encourage you and I and all of us. Hallelujah. He says that the final test of the Christian scheme comes from trying it out in one's life. Testing the promises, the scheme tells us that God has made, following in the way enjoined on us by the church, seeing whether it leads to the new life of the Spirit. And it says that don't think that just because you and I and us aren't a philosopher or a scholar, that you and I and us cannot be an apologist. You can bear witness to the truth and the power of the gospel. Your life can be your own best argument, your best defense of your faith in Jesus Christ. So this is to everyone who asks why you believe. So God is encouraging you and I and us to put your faith in practice. Let your family, let your business colleagues, and let your employers see the difference that Jesus makes and have made in your life. Tell him about the miracles that God has already performed in your life, not the needs that you have before him now. But see, you got evidence of what God has already performed in your life. See, and you can go and tell people that don't have much faith, got a little faith, some faith, just a tiny faith. You can increase their faith even more so by telling them what God has already performed in your life. Maybe you've had loved ones that has been ill, that's been in the hospital for a very long time, might been in a coma, might have had, you know, different ailments of tuberculosis, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, have been having glaucoma, whatever the case might be. If you know that you have asked God to heal that individual and God has answered that prayer petition, then you can bear witness that God has come to your plea. God has come to your defense. God has come to the prayer that you have submitted before the throne of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we're going to keep on moving because we know that time is rapidly moving along. So our sermon once again is dressing in power. I'm talking about faith power. That's what I'm talking about. Dressing in power. And God tell us to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on faith. Put on defense. Put on belief that you know God will do it. God has never let you down. God might not have answered all our prayers, but that does not mean that he have turned us down. That just means that it has not come to fruition as of yet, but it's still in the making. Hallelujah. God said not one good thing he would withhold from them that love him. So God don't want to keep not one good thing from you and I and us. God wants to bless us with the very best that he has. Hallelujah. So I just want to share a little bit of this passage with you. Hallelujah. Let me get my light a little closer to me so I can see. Hallelujah. I want to just share a story of a boy with an evil spirit. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, that this young boy had an evil spirit, and it immediately follows that of the transfiguration of Jesus. These two scenes contrast the glory and power of the Lord with the impotence and frustration of the disciples. The Bible says that after the figuration, Mark said that straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, running to him and saluted him. And that scripture reading was coming out of the law of Mark 9 and 15. And that was our second key scripture on this morning. So we know that just a few verses later, we are told that the disciples were not able to drive out the evil spirits. That's verse 18. They didn't look good in the eyes of the crowd. In the figuration, God confirmed in Jesus the authority to complete his mission of healing, teaching, and saving. This is my beloved son, hear him. That's verse 7. That authority empowered him to say to the disciples, bring him unto me. Verse 19. Jesus rebuked the evil spirit as well as the disciples who should have been able to cure the boy, but could not because they lacked belief in that authority. And so a lot of times we're not able to heal anybody because we don't have the faith. We lack in faith. We can't touch anybody with a blinded eye and ask God to heal them because we're lacking faith. We cannot lay hands on the lame and look for them to get up and start walking because we are a lack of faith. See, faith is what moved God in yours and mine and our lives. That moves God. But Jesus expressed his displeasure in the disciples by saying, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Later, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believe. Verse 23. Then he commanded the evil spirit to come out of the boy. I want to ask you that are listening out there in my digital audience, how often do you and I and us that's in the body of Christ, you're given the opportunity to say to this world forces, in the name of Jesus, come out. But instead, you look helpless in the eyes of the crowd. We have to ask ourselves, where is our faith? Is it active? Does it rely on the authority of Jesus Christ? Does it carry his power and authority to the needy and the sick and the unsaved? Does it move mountains? So I want to ask you on this morning, it is relevant. Where is your faith? Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name, God. We give your name the glory, God. We give your name the praise. Hallelujah, God, because we know that you're able to do anything but fail. You might say, Overseer Ward, I have been looking to be married. I've lost my husband for many years. I've lost my wife for many years, and I've been a widow for 10 or 15, 20 years, and I'm looking to have a woman, you know, that love God, that know God, that live in the life of Christ, a man that love God and love God and love his family and live in a life of Christ, and you are wanting to remarry, well, I don't want you to be dismayed because God can send you that ideal husband, that ideal wife that you have placed at the foot of God. But in order to please God, you and I and us, we must believe that God will do what he say will do. We must believe God's word. Take God's word as face value. Everything that God said, God backed it up. Hallelujah. God said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelleth among us. Hallelujah. So we got to believe and take God at His Word. You can't believe God by, you know, well, I don't see it. Because we know that faith is not nothing that you can see, but faith is a belief that what you have placed at the throne of God, God is going to do. You say, well, I don't know when God's going to do it, because we know that our timing and God timing is on two different levels. But you say, I don't know when God's going to do it, but I believe He's going to do it. I don't know when God's going to bless me with that financial breakthrough, that financial windfall, but I know that God is going to do it. I don't know when God is going to bless me with that husband or wife, but I know that God is going to do it because I got His Word. And God is not a man that He's going to start to lie. God is a spiritual man, is a spirit. And God said those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we know that God is a power surge. God give you and I that same power, that Holy Ghost power. You have to have the Holy Ghost in order to have that power, because you cannot have it without it. God said, He said, ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you and I and us. So it's that Holy Ghost power that empower you and I to be able to lay hands on a sick person. They, through Christ, God healed them. Through our prayers, they become healed. They become whole. That person now is engaged to be married. That woman is engaged to be married. God loved to give you another husband, another wife, because God don't want us going out cheating, you know, committing adultery with somebody that's been married, or even committing fornication, you know. So neither one of you might be married, might not be married. So God don't want you committing sin. God wants you to stay true to your calling. You know, you say you're a woman, a man of God, you love God, you know, then God wants you to continue in His will and in His way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we know that the two disciples, hallelujah, the two disciples, we're walking along the road, talking about the past week events. One week they had witnessed Jesus' triumphant entry, His crucifixion, and His burial. Perhaps they shared their disappointments and grief. They had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah. Now they wrestle with the seeming finality of His death. Their hopes and dreams were radically altered, absorbed in the conversation. They didn't notice when the two of them became three, when Jesus joined these two on the road to Emmaus. They didn't realize the one who was the subject of their conversation and confusion. It was only later, as Jesus blessed the food in His own unmistakable way, that the two discovered His true identity. Only then did they connect His presence with their experience. Hallelujah. On the road, did not our hearts burn within us, they say, while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the scriptures in the law of Luke 24 and 32. And you know, my sister and my brother, sometimes it is like that for you and I and us too. We were not expecting God to perform a miracle in the midst of our family crisis. We were not looking for Him to do the unexpected in our church and communities. When we are absorbed in our own problems, we sometimes do not see that He is with you and I and us. When we are lost in our needs, we may not recognize that He is with us to comfort you and I and us and to guide us and to teach us. Hallelujah. But when we take time to talk with God about our needs, hallelujah, and our issues and our problems, we can expect the unexpected as a result of our communion with Him. In the law of Luke 11 and 10, encourage you and I and us, for everyone that asks, receiveth. So we are going to talk about five students, hallelujah, in the state of Arkansas. They asked for an equal education, separate but equal. Was thrown out as an educational paradigm. A woman in Montgomery, Alabama, stayed seated on a bus. As a result, was a radical integration of American transportation system. We need to raise our expectation about how God will work in our lives, remembering that after the confusion and disappointments of the crucifixion came the glory and power of the resurrection. You and I and us, we need to recognize that moment when our heart burned within us, that the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Counselor, is walking with you and I and us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. We know that faith pleases God, yet all too often doubt creeps in to cast a shadow over yours and our faith. It can happen at any time. No one is immune to it. God can turn the shadows of doubt into faith, as he did with Thomas. We find out that Mary Magdalene, Peter and John had all examined the empty tomb on the resurrection morning. Surprisingly, none of them associated the disappearance of the body of Jesus with the fulfillment of his prophecy about himself, a prophecy they had heard repeatedly. But when Jesus later showed his pierced and broken body to a room full of startled followers, each of them believed that he was alive. Thomas was the only disciple absent when Jesus appeared. He refused to accept the testimony of his friends when Jesus appeared to the disciples again. He singled out Thomas and challenged him. He said, Jesus even went so far as to let Thomas touch the proof. He declared that Jesus was the Lord and God. Wasn't that a radical change? From persistent doubt to unwavering faith. And if God can do it for Thomas, God can do it for you and I and us. God is no respectable person. What God did in Bible days, God is doing in today's world. Right here, right now, in this moment, in this second, in this hour, in this minute. God is the same God he was over 2,000 years ago. He hasn't changed his identity. He hasn't changed his mind. He hasn't changed his gospel. He hasn't changed his philosophy. God is the same God 2,000 years ago. He is right now. Hallelujah. So we know that Thomas had a need to examine and experience the truth before proclaiming that Jesus recognized Thomas' need for proof. And he honored it. So God allowed Thomas to touch his body. Hallelujah. But God went on to say, blessed thou that hast seen me. Thou hast believed. But it made it clear that he honors even more those who believe without proof. Some people say, I got to see a sign. You know, I got to see a prophetic word. I got to, you know, I just got to know. I got to hear it. I got to see it. But God said, bless those who has not seen, but yet believe. Blessed too are those who receive and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through the testimony of committed believers, our gracious Savior can provide the proof. I mean, provide the truth and the proof and the faith that erases all doubts. So I want to ask you on this morning, where is your faith? Are you dressing in the power of faith? Our sermon this morning was dressing in power, revised. We're talking about dressing in faith. We're talking about putting on the whole armor of God. So in order to move God, we must trust him. We can't be a doubting Thomas, but we got to trust God when we can't trace him and take him at his word. God has never lied, and God is not going to start lying. Heaven and earth will just go on off to the four corners of this earth. before one jot, J-O-T, of God's word come back void and not accomplishing what God has sent it out to accomplish. God's word is going to do what God has sent it out to accomplish in our lives, in this life, in this century, in this 21st century that we're living in. So if you don't have any faith, I want to encourage you today to pick up your mustard size seed of faith. That's all that is required to move God in yours and mine and our lives and in our behalf. But without faith, my brother and my sister, it's impossible to please God without faith. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of God. This program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God. Have any prepositions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf? You'll most certainly encourage us in your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station, hallelujah, is produced by Blog Talk Radio. This program is the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Guerra, California, 95020. You can also log on to JaniceWardMinistries.org. And if you have any prayer petitions, you can state and place your prayer petition over there. You can also catch me over there on Facebook. You can go to Twitter, you can go to Instagram, you can go to all of those digital sites. You can go there. You can go there and make your request known. I'm going to now open the dial-up request line. We have a dial-up request line that you can speak to yours truly. And if you have a petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer and touch and agree with you, that God will bring your prayer petition to its fruition, you are welcome to call in at this time. I'm prompting you right now to call in. If you have a prayer petition, you can call in. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to see if anyone have any prayer petitions. And I know that right now my chat room is not available. Because I have to download our software. And so I'm so sorry that you're unable to listen to me live. But you can download, hallelujah, this segment. You can go to the archives and download today's segment. And you can listen in. I would be so appreciative that you would, you know, download it and listen to it in its fullest. And so if there will not be any prayer petitions at this time, we're going to go on into the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. That is to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. And until we come across these skyways and airways again, we're encouraging you to buckle up with Jesus at the wheel because he is people friendly. Hallelujah. We want you to go in God. We're encouraging you to go in God and allow God to go in you. We need God every hour. We need him. We need God every minute, every second of our lives because we know that the enemy is always lurking. He's always, you know, snooping around trying to see whom he can catch slipping, whom he can devour, whom he can move over on his side in his playground. But we must keep our feet firmly on the ground, hallelujah, of salvation in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, without any further ado, we're going to take you over into the second phase of our program, that is Hymns of Zion, to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
Stages and flashing lights, music trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name, but don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep getting. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold it, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light, you hold the light, and it's shining and making darker places brighter. You light up, you hold the light, you got a light. You bring the light in the Saturday, they can see it, they won't live it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing, no, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they're lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my, you know I ride for you. And believe me, you ain't see much, it's just the beginning. More walking, so speaking, what we went to. Listen, be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light, you hold the light, and it's shining and making darker places brighter. You light up, you hold the light, you got a light, you bring the light, you bring the light, and it's shining and they can see it, they won't live it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing, no, it's not for remixing. Not for remaking, alright. So they're lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my view, you know I ride for you.
Forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. Why don't we fight for it? The thought of you free from danger, fear, depression, and anger, confusing, rage, and tangle. Lord, got me out here with my tools up, framework with a confuser. Lyrics and tracks for music. Yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. Cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I'm right, I'm here on purpose.
Walking, 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 when I see you walking, oh, oh, oh.
out of the frying pan into the fire. Always screaming out the devil is a liar. Two things we've all upset you, and I don't think the devil's talking that much. People pitching their tents in the past like slow food on your Lord who bless you. $1 million homes, big check you. Nice whips, cash, sex. It's all you hear about on the radio. 50 million views, you too. Pop culture got the future looking scary out. But hey, really, other can you do? A lot. I don't know about Superman. I put my whole heart in the top of this monotonous life. It was a work with no telling. Cause everybody's trying to make it into heaven. Yeah. Cause everybody wanna go. I'm nauseous. I'm so sick of materialistic nonsense. So I made a whole list of his mollies. Making the dead rise. Live consciousness. Don't blink. Keep watching him. He's always been there. Yeah, my God's in this. Change the skeptics in the optimistic lag. Turning all the haters into bust bags. Behold, I do a new thing. It's great, I am. It's a true thing. The blood of Christ, red is the new flag. And good is the new bad. It's yours. Please have mercy, Lord. These lives on ours, they're yours. Please have mercy, Lord. Sometimes looking at him, can't tell. He bought it with his life, seems like a bad sale. But he knows best. I give him mine. Maybe you should, but never mind. I gave him mine. That's enough. I ride with him. Enough to love him. I'm coming in. I've been knocking. But no one answered. So I walked in. I'm moving in.
Trust me, baby girl, something's different. It's accepting that we're not
not in control. Giving our lives to the one who is, he wipes our noses and subdue our fears. Honestly, that's all it really is. In our youth, we had hopes too, but some heroes never ever appear. Gently down the stream.
Miss Sadie.
Merrily, merrily, merrily.
Little lady.
Life is but a dream.
Miss Sadie. Little lady.
Oh, just a little girl.
Miss Sadie.
Grown up in the cold, cold
little world. Little lady.
Well, nothing's what it seems.
Miss Sadie. Sit down, come.
Thank you. Donnie McDonough, and they fell in love, but had no idea what love really was. But they tried their best to make each other smile, but while learning themselves, they would have a child, but with no time to think the whole thing through, little time to prepare. It got tough to provide for him and give him love and care. How do I, when and where are questions they both often ask God? Life is full of twist, life is full of swirls, is the way of the world, it flips you upside down. When you're young, when you're old, it just spins out of control. Whoa, it spins out of Johnny and Donna slowly recognized that for the baby's future, they planned two different lives. Donna wanted a family. She wanted to do it right. Make Johnny's house a home. She wanted to be a wife. But Johnny was a dreamer, and he had to move around. Yeah, he'd be there for his child, but wouldn't settle down. How, when and where are questions they both often ask God? Life is full of twist, life is full of swirls, is the way of the world, it's whirlwinds and girlfriends, toys and boyfriends, friends and Frenchmen, war, peace and peacemen, gentlemen. Don't forget wasp and bee stings. Whether you're Johnny or Donna, or neither of the two, just try to make the best of what's given to you.
Tired. It's all based
on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. Keeping me alive. So many disappointments.